This is Vectis Radio. It's Macca, and we've got a special guest, Oscar, in the studio. You're right, Oscar?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, Ian.
This is going to be the most difficult hour of radio that you've ever experienced.
Okay.
All right, because it's all about you.
Okay.
Okay? Yeah. So this is the lunchtime social. I'm trying to steer clear from Brexit, but I will ask you what your thoughts are.
Okay, yeah.
But we ain't spending too long on it. Because I feel that the media have spent too much time on it.
Yeah.
They were camped outside of the big house yesterday in London.
Oh, really?
Knowing full well what the result was going to be, and knowing full well it's going to be chaos and nothing's going to be decided.
I know.
Because they can't... You said something really interesting. Bearing in mind, listener, that Oscar's only 16, going on 50. But he's... what did you say when I asked you your opinion on Brexit, you said?
It's just getting too complicated. It's getting too complicated. And it's just a small thing turning into a massive big thing.
Hmm.
And it's just... silly. It's just... Well, it's not silly, but like... it's just kind of annoying because, like, they could have sorted the problem. They could have sorted the solution. They could have sorted the solution out, but they didn't. They just carried it on and made it into a massive big thing.
If I said to you,
yeah,
I need you to go down to the paper shop because the managers at Vectis have decided they're going to cancel their newspapers, and I asked you to go down to the newspaper shop and cancel our newspapers, and when you come back, that's all I want to have been done. But you've come back and you've said, they're going to do us a deal. And I'm going to say, hang on a minute, Oscar, I asked you to cancel the newspapers. I'm not interested in deals. So just go back, cancel the newspapers. And then you come back again in Theresa May style and say, it's not good for you to cancel the newspapers. We need to have a deal in place. And I'm going to say to you again, we've already had the discussion. Go back and cancel the newspapers. In other words, go back to the European peeps and say, look, the people of Britain voted 2-3 years ago. They wanted to come out, okay? So that means out. No deals, just out. And it's only in the last sort of, you know, couple of months that I've realised that those people, when you talk to them, those people that actually voted to come out, they meant out, no deals, just come out. And I think that's just been overplayed, overcomplicated, and here we are in a right old pickle. Last night, the old Prime Minister lost big time. Tonight, she'll get that vote of confidence through. She'll be all right. We'll be back to square one. Where are we? I'll tell you where we are. It's a laughing stock where we are. Nobody knows what's going on because it's overcomplicated.
Yeah.
What they should go back to Europe and say is, sorry, we misunderstood. The people actually said no deal. The people actually said no Europe. We want out. And that's what should happen. And it's as simple as that. And then by saying, we've got to come in and get a good deal. We can't just leave without one. No, hang on a minute. That's what the people wanted. And you're quick to say it's democracy. We're acting on the people in the people's interest. The people have given us a mandate. Yes, the mandate was quite simple. You've overcomplicated it. We wanted to come out. 52% voted. I know it's not a massive majority, but they did. The phones ring. You've upset people already. This is not your dad. I don't think he is because he says he's busy. He's busy. Hello?
Geezer, just a quickie.
Yes.
There's a song that should be played at the moment.
Yeah.
Right? The people all said, sit down. Sit down, you're rocking the boat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, just a quick one for you, because I've got to eat my sandwich and drink my tea. There's a little matter in this country called you vote. It's your choice, you take it or you don't do it, or whatever, but you go into that box and you put an X against something, and you're voting for somebody, albeit the Prime Minister, the government of the day, your local councillor, the captain of your football team, you go and vote.
Mm-hmm.
When you've put your X on that spot, the person then who is the recipient of that X, if he gets enough, or she gets enough, they are the person in charge. They have been given the mandate to deal with what the public want. How can an MP for an area that's voted to leave vote not to leave?
Yeah, you're talking about the MP, aren't you?
I'm talking about all of them. If you've got over 400 MPs that have been told by their constituencies that they want them to leave,
yeah,
how can they then vote against leaving?
Absolutely.
It's not their choice.
And it's not rocket science either.
Exactly. The people all said, sit down, you're rocking the boat. Do what you're told. If you can't do what you're told, get out of it and get someone else in who can do what they're told.
Well, do you know what really frustrates me is the fact that that ain't rocket science. It's quite clear. You know, they keep saying, MPs keep saying, we've got a mandate, we're acting on their behalf. You're not. You're not listening. They're the first ones to say, we've got to do this because the people have voted. Yes, they voted to come out. They didn't vote for deals. And it's that's where the... That's it.
Yeah.
Black and white. That's where
we are. You can disregard Wee Burnie north of the border, because all her agendas are, whatever you vote for, all her agendas are pointed towards Scottish independence. You can disconnect, you can completely discount anything she says with regards to it. The Welsh people are starting to go back on what they voted for now, if you listen to the people on the telly this morning. Mm. They're actually backtracking, but the majority of people in Wales voted to leave.
Yeah.
The majority of people in Northern Ireland voted to remain. But if you take the whole country, and we have to include the farthest part of Cornwall, Scillies, everything like that, right? The majority of the people in the country voted to leave the European Union.
Mm.
Basically, they'd had enough. You can't say, well, the majority, if you count the numbers, the more people in London or London area voted to remain. And there's probably more people in the London area voted to remain than in Scotland, Ireland and Wales combined. But as it comes to constituencies, the number of constituencies that voted to leave was greater than the ones that voted to stay. So all them MPs that were tasked with voting to leave by their people who voted need to hang their heads in shame. And I think the worst thing that can happen to this country at the moment is to suffer the indignity of what old Albert Steptoe's after, which is another general election, because I think people would not turn out.
Honestly, I heard old What's His Face's speech last night. The Labour chap, Jeremy Corbyn. I mean, I listened and I thought, yeah, passionate speech, but that's not what we need. That's just going to overcomplicate. And all that will happen is we'll be left with another hung parliament and can't decide. Yeah. That's
We'll be left in a worse state than Italy.
Yeah, it's got ridiculous and it's got overcomplicated. Someone needs to get a grip on this and say, "Hey, look, we go back to the people and we've sort of said, look, we voted. We don't have to go back to the people. Look, we just read between the lines. We voted 52% to come out. Now, them's was the rules. I don't agree with anything else being added into this cake whatsoever. It is what it is. It was a vote to come out, no deal, we come out of Europe. Now, if afterwards we feel that we want to do some negotiations, then fine.
Yeah.
But we want out. That's what the people, and they keep saying that we're acting on the people. You're not acting on the people's behalf at all. You are driving the ship as close as you can get to staying in, but being out.
Exactly. So what you do is, if you vote for something to be A or B, if you vote for A is what you expect to get. You don't expect to get A minus or B plus. It's A or B.
Yeah.
That was the question. A or B. In, out. Shake it all about. You know, that's the whole point about it all. And the trouble is, all these people on the television spouting away, you get the famous ones, you get the people, you get the midget north of the border. You know, they all got their own issues. But they can't get away from the fundamental fact that the majority of people that voted to go, to leave.
Yeah.
And that's it. You have another vote. What happens if they have another vote and it's again leave? What happens then?
What happens
if there's another vote and it's an even bigger majority to leave? What would these people do then?
It's an absolute joke.
Would they pay the bill?
It's a joke.
Would they pay the bill, Ian? That's the point.
Wow.
Would they pay the bill?
It is. The more you look at it, the more you think how ridiculous this whole situation has become. It's just become, they've overcomplicated something that should have been incredibly simple.
Yeah.
Go down and cancel my papers, Oscar, and don't come back until you've done it. That's what should have happened. You should have cancelled the papers, Oscar. Not done a deal.
That's it.
Not done a deal with them.
The people all said, sit down. Sit down. You're rocking the boat.
Yeah, more importantly, what's in your sandwich?
It's actually corned beef with coleslaw.
Nice.
And it might even be German coleslaw.
Nice.
With a flask of Darjeeling. The corned beef will have come from Argentina, probably.
Okay, and
I've got a banana that don't come from this country.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah, it works. It works
well,
still.
It works. But then again, who cares? At the end of the day, we probably buy more stuff from Europe than they buy from us. So who is going to lose out of all this?
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
when Jean-Claude Juncker stands there, that is like a red rag to the bull for anybody that's over the age of 70, because they're not going to take anything from anybody called Juncker.
No. Anyway, back to your sandwich. Thanks for being there, Arthur. See you soon.
Sit down. We're rocking the boat.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more.
There you go.
Thank you.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye. Now, what I'm not going to do and what I'm not prepared to do, Oscar, is have a whole hour and talking about it and do what all the other people are doing. Mm-hmm. And that is go round and round in circles.
Yeah.
We've made our point. We voted to come out. Yeah. Go and get us out. And then we'll get on with life. We'll crack on, which is something they should have been doing. For the last 2-3 years, all they've been doing is moaning and groaning amongst themselves and while Britain burns in places.
Yeah.
And they haven't been getting on with their work.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, look, so we're going to focus on you. So we're going to forget Brexit. We're not going to talk about Brexit anymore. And here's a message. We said about your dad, who's a big Southampton fan.
Mm-hmm.
You can get help for that. He's been in touch. Because we said, do you reckon he'll come on and talk about Brexit?
Yeah.
And he says, no chance, dude, of me calling in, especially about Brexit, working hard here. Only one radio DJ in this family. Video hasn't killed this radio star. Pizza wedges. You'll like this for tonight. Do you like pizza?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pizza, wedges, dips and beers chilling for tonight's game versus Derby.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing you're watching that at home on Sky.
On BBC One.
Oh, it's on BBC One, is it? Right, okay. So you're getting pizza, wedges and dips.
Yeah.
Not sure whether you're getting a beer or not, but I don't want you coming in tomorrow hungover.
I don't know. It depends if we just get mum upstairs quickly.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah,
like
it's...
That,
it's
it?
Yeah.
So, look, we're going to focus on you, okay?
Yeah.
We're going to continue Brexit for about 60 seconds. Your thoughts are that it's, overcomplicated.
Yeah.
What about your mum and dad? What have they said?
I don't know. I don't know what they... I don't know. I don't know what they've...
Do they moan about it? Do they talk about it?
No. They talk about it, like, sometimes... Sometimes they do talk about it, but they don't talk it, like, all the time, because...
Right.
Yeah.
Good for them, I say.
Yeah.
It hasn't taken over your life, because it has taken over a lot of people's lives, and they get more and more irate. And do you know what? Last night, Oscar? Last night...
Yeah.
I don't know whether you watched Silent Witness.
No.
Well, you should be in bed anyway when that's on. Silent Witness was on. And what my wife and I do is because it's in two parts. And the first part is 9 o'clock on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Second part is on Tuesdays, 9 o'clock. So what we did last night was we watched the first part between 8 and 9, okay, and then zipped it over between 9 and 10. Or at 9 o'clock to watch the final part, so we could watch the two together. Okay, and what happens at 9 o'clock? There's a 5-minute news bulletin about some vote that we've been trying to avoid all night.
Like, I think it'd be good. Like, you know, like the votes. Like, they should get like, I don't know, 16-year-olds like to vote, like to see how they go to it, to see their like not their side, but like to see how it.
Do you know what, Oscar? I'm just thinking. By the time that these idiots get this sorted out, you'll be old enough to vote.
So
by the time they get around to doing all of this, you might be able to vote on this. And when it first started, you were about, I don't know, 13. Yeah. And now, say, in 2 years' time, in less than 2 years' time, you'll be 18, you'll be able to vote.
Yeah.
Because they've taken so long to do it. Anyway, look, let's find out a bit more about you. Because I'm interested. You've been with us now for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And what I've noticed is your confidence has grown. Mm-hmm. And we can have conversations about lots of different things, which when you first turned up, you were one of them kids that sort of hid in the background, mainly because the other kids in the forefront were a bit noisier than you. Mm-hmm. And ever since we've removed the noisy kids or turned the volume down on them, you've sort of stepped up. And it's quite amazing what you've achieved, actually, because you are mm-hmm. now the producer of a radio show on Saturday. Yeah. You're pulling all that together. And here you are doing a lunchtime social.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's quite incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm going to find out a little bit more about you. I want to take you back in time. So you sit back on the couch. This session is free. Okay? Mm-hmm. This session is free. What's your first memory?
My first memory is my sister pushing me off a go-kart. Yeah,
that's the first thing you remember. Okay, you can play along at home, listener. If you do want to give us a call, feel free. But you know, we're just asking these kind of questions because I just think it's interesting. So you're going back in time and you're remembering your sister pushing you off a go kart. Is your sister younger than you?
Younger than me.
She's
younger.
That's your first memory.
Yeah, like it's always stayed there. Literally, it's always stayed there. And it's to be honest, it's a really good memory because like.
Did it hurt? Did you graze your knee or anything like that?
No.
Oh, right. No. Do you know what my first memory is? And I'm told that this is how it happened. Mm. I used to live with my gran back in about, it would have been about 67, 1968. I know you're thinking, wow, that's like, when? That's like in the olden days. She used to live in New Street, number 75 New Street. And she used to have you'd walk in through the front door and you'd have a long corridor. And apparently me and my brother were in this corridor and we were zooming. You know those matchbox cars that you can get?
Yeah.
And we were zooming cars. How much fun would that have been? No kids do that today, do they?
No.
Zooming cars. It must have been sort of about 30 feet. So we were like zooming the cars up. And apparently someone made a comment of Uncle George is dead. And I apparently had this car and I zipped it up to my brother and said, who shot him? And that is my first memory. And apparently that's the first thing. Whenever my mum thinks back of it, that's what she thinks of.
Yeah.
So anyway, moving on. It's not about me, Oscar. It's about you. So that was your earliest memory, your first memory. These are not in order, any order whatsoever. What was your first football match?
My first football match is Brighton and Hove Albion.
So you went to see?
Yeah.
Southampton?
No, I went to go and see Brighton, Hove Albion, but not Saints. I went to go. That's my first match.
Does your dad know?
Yeah, my dad took me.
What, to see Brighton?
Yeah.
And now he's a Southampton fan?
No.
You better tell us the story, because otherwise it looks like you're a turncoat.
So basically, they were going to test me out, see if I liked football. So they took me to a smaller pitch to go and see if I like football, see if the crowd's okay.
Okay.
So he took me to a smaller stadium where it's less people. Because I don't like crowds, so he took me to Brighton and Hove Albion to go and see that, like, because it was a very small pitch then. So then I kind of liked it. Then I moved up to Southampton.
Who played Brighton that day?
I can't remember.
You can't remember?
No.
Do you know what? My first Arsenal match was against Brighton in 1980, and Arsenal won 2-0, and I think Graham Ricks scored one of the goals. But Brighton, they used to play at the Goldstone Ground, if I remember rightly, the old Brighton team. So that was your first, you went to see Brighton first of all.
Yeah.
How brilliant is that? My first ever football match was in 1975. My first stepfather of many took me to see Portsmouth versus Nottingham Forest at Fratton Park, and it was the first game in charge for Brian Clough. Yes, the legendary Brian Clough. So, best holiday? Favourite holiday?
I would have to go Malta.
You went there? Did you go there last year?
Yes.
So Malta.
Yeah, Malta. Okay. Malta was really good. I loved it. Like, I just loved the sunset and the viewing. The sunset was really good at night because it just come down and it's just really good. It's really good.
You sound like an old man now. That's not what I was expecting from a 16-year-old. Oh, yeah, the sunset. Brilliant, love it. Let's talk about, and I'm going to chuck a curveball at you in a minute, because I just think the reaction on your face would be fun. Film it. So first football match was Brighton. Have you ever laughed so much that you cried?
Yeah, I have, yeah. Multiple times.
Go on, what was the last time?
Probably when I slipped down from the stair. From the staircase, and I slipped and I fell down, and I was literally laughing so much because of at the moment it really hurts, but afterwards it's just laugh, and I was just like literally crying.
So those kind of things, yeah. You fall over.
Yeah.
I remember watching a film called very recently. The second time I was to watch it every now and again. If you've had a bad week and you think I've got to watch something to make me laugh.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched the film A Million Ways to Die in the West?
No.
It's genius. It's the worst film ever for a story, but it's just so funny. And I remember that was the last thing I watched, and I was crying with laughter. It was so funny. First, do you remember your first day at school?
Not really, because...
That wouldn't have been on the island, would it? Cause
no.
Are you originally from Brighton?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would have been a long time, long time ago.
I was born in Brighton, but I got moved to Seaford as well.
Right.
Okay. It's near Brighton.
How old were you when you first went to school?
Same
as everyone else in five. Some kids went to school earlier.
Yeah.
Old friend of mine, Shane, who now is the manager at Currys in Newport, and longest that we've known him since he was about four. I think he started school at four. And he was most upset that there he was going off to school aged four, and I didn't have to, not until I was five.
To be honest, I was a bit of a wimp when I went to school, because I just wanted to go home, to be honest.
You just wanted to go home?
Yeah, I just didn't want to be there.
I remember my sister taking me to my first day at school at Barton, and I remember getting home and my mum saying, "How did you get on first day at school?" And I said, "First?" What do you mean I've got to go back? Yeah, I was most upset. Okay, what would be your dream car?
My dream car?
If you could drive a car, if you could have your own car, what car would you have?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Well, I'll tell you what, whilst you're having a little think about it, we'll take a quick commercial break.
Right.
We'll bung in Joan Armour Trading and drop the pilot, and we just want to remind people that, if you're listening and you're thinking, well, shouldn't you be talking about Brexit? The answer is no. We shouldn't be talking about Brexit because the nation voted 3 years ago. I'm not overcomplicating it. I'm not making it rocket science. We actually told our MPs what they had to do, and they're not prepared to do it for some reason. So the pickle that they find themselves in today is MP made. Not you or me.
No.
MP made. They're the problem.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why
they need to undo it all. It's their problem, so...
Anyway, we're coming back in a moment. We'll drop the pilot and your dream car.
Radio with the community at heart. This is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
At Scottish and Southern Electricity Networks, we work all year round to prepare for winter and help keep your lights on. But winter can bring all kinds of weather. So, to help you get ready, we suggest you download our free PowerTrack app and note down the national helpline number 105. 105 is the number to call in a power cut. Scottish and Southern Electricity Networks, powering our community. SSEN.co.uk.
For 25 years, we have provided friendly, professional IT support to businesses, public sector, and private clients across the island. Our team of 20 IT professionals have over 325 years of accumulated experience. We are award-winning and give our customers peace of mind, which is why 99.1% of them rate the service we provide as excellent. We are the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy, and support. Who are we? We are PC Consultants. Call us at PC Consultants on 01983 811 711 to find out more about our award-winning service.
Willie's Guitar Shop is a stylish guitar boutique in Cowes on the Isle of Wight. We are a small, friendly, family-owned business and sell quality vintage and pre-owned guitars. Also, accessories, strings, leads and books. In addition, we provide guitar repairs, setups, restrings and guitar lessons. We pride ourselves on our expertise and first-class customer service. You're more than welcome to pop in for a chat. We're situated at number 12 Shooters Hill in Cowes. For more details, visit our Facebook page, Willie's Guitar Shop, or telephone 01983 24 26 80. Most excellent!
Cats Protection and Ride has been caring for and homing cats on the Isle of Wight since 1961. Every year we help hundreds of island cats find their new forever homes. If you are thinking of adopting a new feline friend, then come along to the Isle of Wight Adoption Centre and we'll be happy to help you. We have cats of all ages, colours and personalities so we can find a cat for you. Find us in Marlborough Road Ride or check out our website isleofwight.cats.org.uk for more information. We're open Wednesday to Sunday 10 till 4 with late opening on Friday till 7. Our cats can't wait to come home with you.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the island's local station.
Well, all the other people are overcomplicating Brexit. We're talking about something completely different, aren't we, Oscar? We are going for all that stuff that you were. Well, it's all about you, isn't it? What was your. Before with the break, we asked you what your dream car would be.
Yeah.
What's your dream car then?
Alfa Romeo.
An Alfa Romeo?
Yeah.
Now, that sounds quite sort of.
It's Italian.
It is Italian, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, look, your dad's been in touch as well. Look. Let me just read this out. Hang on, it will come through in a minute. Mm-hmm. It was Brighton, right? This is the game. Yes. Going back to the game. It was Brighton versus Yeovil at the With Dean Stadium. It was on Boxing Day, and we walked from our house to there with Uncle Ad. Do you remember Uncle Ad?
Yeah, actually, he's coming over.
Is he?
He's coming over this weekend, so.
Old Uncle Ad?
Yep.
Do you call him Unky Ad? Unky Ad. Brighton lost 3-1. What, at Yeovil? You're joking. No one loses to Yeovil. Do they?
I don't know.
He's got that wrong. Brighton lost 3-1 to 3-1? Oscar even had a Brighton scarf, as Uncle Ad did as well. He was a big
Uncle,
seagull.
He's Uncle Adam, so that. Ad,
he can't
spell
Adam, or he's just lazy, one of the two. soon took Oscar to see Saints after that, and you've never looked back, all right? So we're going to go back to the car, Hero. So car is Alfa Romeo.
Yeah.
That's the dream car that you like. And your dad has one of those as well.
Oh.
Right. Apparently, does he?
Is no,
right?
He does, yeah.
He does, he has one of that.
Yeah.
Do you argue over who sits in the front seat?
No.
When you're out in the when mum's not there, then and the front seat's out with the kids.
Just a cool shotgun.
Oh, do you do that?
Shotgun. I know. I'm in the front.
Do you do that though?
Yeah.
Is that what happens?
Sometimes, yeah. So I'm the oldest, so I get to sit in the front.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
But what if your sister says shotgun and she sits in the front?
Still.
Gonna ask you a question. Has that ever happened where you've had to sit in the back because your sister's sitting in the front?
Yeah.
Do you sulk?
Yeah. I just put my hood up. I just go, not talking to anyone.
I would too. Do you argue over who sits in the middle as well? Because no one wants to sit in the middle.
No,
you've got to have a window seat.
I have the window seat in my mum's car.
Yeah.
So my sister sits in the middle. So both of us, me and Cosmo, just because I've got no, I have an advantage because where I'm a lot taller than Bella. I won't fit in the middle.
Right.
So she has, because where Belle's a little bit smaller, she can put her feet on the floor where I can't, and they probably can't see out the back, so I get the window seat.
You get the window seat. What about when you're on a plane? Do you get the window seat then as well?
I don't like looking down, so when you sit in the middle.
That's the only time you will sit in the middle.
Yeah.
That's funny. You're not normally funny. So you don't want to sit near the window?
No, because if I look down, I go, oh,
gee. We were just talking about that out there. We were talking about heights. We got some guys in from White Wireless doing some work for us. And we were talking about ladders. I made the point of saying, I was telling the story about Carisbrook Castle, and I won't go around the perimeter on the inside because they've got a big high wall one side and a little low wall the other, and if you just have a little wobble, you could fall over that. And if it was up higher, I'd be fine.
Yeah.
And I did make a point of saying, if I was a window cleaner, I'd love to be a window cleaner, but only bungalows. So I don't like heights, and you don't like heights either.
No. We went to Disneyland when I was about 10, and we're going, there's this like little dolphin roller coaster.
Yeah.
And I was like on it, got to the top, and I was literally crying my eyes out.
Was you?
Stop, stop. And then my sister cried because she wanted to go on it again. And there's me, the oldest, that's me going on it. It's like, I don't like it. Then my sister's crying because she wanted to go on it again.
Have you ever been, you've been to Robin Hill?
Yeah.
Have you been on the, is it a Colossus? The Colossus thing?
Yeah.
The thing that goes back and up high and yeah. up again and so on. I remember going there with my son. He would have been about 10 and he came, and his cousin came over and he would have been about sort of 8. Mm. And his cousin was so gobby. He came from Sheffield. Okay, and he was so gobby. Whatever my son Tom did, he could do it better, and so on and so forth. And he was such an irritating little twerp. I cleaned that up, okay?
Yeah.
He was so... And anyway, he wanted to go on this Colossus thing.
Yeah.
And my son would say, yeah, we'll go on the Colossus thing, it won't be a problem, and so on. And we kept saying to him, look, you know, you're a bit small, you shouldn't be going on it. And no, I'm going on it. I'm really hard, sort of thing. That was the attitude that he had. And anyway, when they go on that thing, they say that if you get up, that you've got to do it. It makes some noise, or you put your hand up. I mean, the thing is, they all put their hands up because they're all like going, "Look me, no hands. I'm not scared." Mm. But anyway, there was this. You know, they got on this machine. It went up. It went back, and then it went up higher. And then all of a sudden, you heard this screaming. This. You know, absolute horrible noise. Someone was in, you know, so scared and so on. And it turned out that it was him, little gobby cousin. It made my son's day, it did, because he would give him such a hard time. I can do this better than you. I'm faster than you. I'm stronger than you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't like going on the Colossus, do you?
And then, when I went on the Colossus, this man said, oh, yeah, do you want the Colossus to flip? When we were on there, it's like, oh yeah, the Colossus is fine. You go up, down, up, and it's fine. It's like, oh yeah, we can actually change this. We can make this go upside down. It's like, can you? And I was like, getting really scared. Like,
can you?
I was like, yeah, I want to get off.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I wouldn't have even got on.
And then he was like, yeah, I was only joking. I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, I'm still getting off.
All right. So, what's the first CD you ever bought? Do you do CDs? You ever bought vinyl?
No.
No vinyl?
No.
Did your dad ever buy vinyl? Because he's like way old, isn't he? He must remember vinyl.
I think he did have, but I'm not too sure.
So it would have been CDs by the time you got around to purchasing music and stuff. What was your first CD?
My first CD was Foo Fighters.
What, an album?
Yeah.
So you bought the Foo Fighters CD. Still got it?
Yeah.
All right. Play it a lot?
Mm-hmm. I love, yeah.
How many CDs do you reckon you got?
I've got Green Day, I've got...
Oh, only a couple then. Count them. I can name them. He says I've got two. Green Day and Foo Fighters. Yeah, what else you got?
I've got the pop songs as well, like...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now albums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Black Lace, Greatest Hits. I'm pulling your leg. It's got Agadoo on. I got a blank look then. All right. So you're a big football fan.
Yeah.
Who is your footballing hero? Southampton player, maybe. England player, possibly. Someone that's won a World Cup. Someone you may have seen at St Mary's. Obviously, Arsenal played there many times and wiped the floor with Southampton. So there's probably a few players that you might sort of think Arsenal related. No, they're not, are they? Yeah. They're not Arsenal. No. So come on, who's your favourite footballer?
I'd have to go with the goalkeeper.
The goalkeeper?
Yeah.
Because that's your position, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's where you play.
Yeah.
So it'd be Fraser Forster. Is that right?
No,
who's the goalkeeper now then?
Fraser Foster's not in goal. Like, he's not in goal anymore. It's Gum.
Gum?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
I think it's pronounced Gum.
So your dad. Oh, right, okay. Your dad now getting in touch. It'd have been easier for him to pick up a blooming phone.
It would,
wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Kelvin Davis.
Yes.
Who's Kelvin Davis?
Kelvin Davis is our... He was our number one goalkeeper ages ago. But right. he retired. But now he's still with us. He's still part of the club.
Yeah.
But he's kind of like an assistant coach, I think.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So Kelvin Davis then. So he's a big old Southampton fan, your dad then.
Yeah.
How old is your dad, roughly? 60s? 70s?
50s. I'm gonna get so tired. I think I'm gonna go to bed at 7 now. It was 8:30 down to 7. No football for me. In my room, lights out.
You're not gonna get pizza wedges now, are you? You're not. Just because I don't know whether he would remember the 1976 FA Cup final. I may have told this story many times, and sorry if you've heard it before, but I just think it's a nice story, and it is going in my book. If the guy, when Southampton won the FA Cup, did you know they won the FA Cup?
Yes.
In 1976.
Yeah.
All those years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm now going back in my mind thinking who was in the team that day. There was Mick Shannon. I'm thinking Peter Rodriguez. I think Eric Steele was in goal. I don't know where I'm dredging any of this up from, but it's certainly coming. Mm-hmm. And you had the guy that won the match with the goal. It'll come to me in a minute. Sadly, he's no longer with us, and I think he played for Portsmouth as well. And what was I going? I can't even remember what I was going to say now. It's gone. Southampton. Yeah, they won the FA Cup.
Yeah.
And Holmes. What was his name?
I know you're thinking about. Yeah.
It's gonna come to me in a minute. But anyway, Nicky Holmes. Okay, that's played it. Number 10 that day. I'm pretty sure he played number 10 that day for Southampton, and they were wearing yellow and blue. And that summer, he came across because he was. I used to live in a place called Pan, and lived in Greenways, number 13. And about two streets away, there was a street called Meadowside. And at number 8 was a guy that used to play in goal for Newport years ago. Can't remember what his name was, but his daughter had married Nicky Holmes. So Nicky Holmes was home for summer holidays,
mm-hmm.
And we all got to know. Apparently, the rumour was that he was staying, and everyone was saying, "Here, Nicky Holmes is staying down there." I said, "Why don't we knock on the door and ask him to come out and play football with us?"
That's weird.
And he did. I knocked on the door, and everyone else kind of ran away. And I thought, "Oh, come on, let's just ask him." And he did. He came out, and we had a Bobby Stokes. Your dad's got it. Bobby Stokes, sadly, no longer with us. He got the winning goal about 9 minutes to go. So anyway, we went out and had a game with Nicky Holmes, playing football with Nicky Holmes. How great is that?
That's wicked.
And he just came out and was just one of the lads.
Yeah.
And
but that's good though, because we're all people, and like we're all people, and we all the famous people now just hide away, and they just go, "Oh, look at me! I'm so fancy. I can't do that. I can't go and play with that person." But
it's funny. It's funny you say that. Are they really, or is it a case of because some soppy nipper from two streets away just wanted a game of football, and that's probably all he wanted to do as well?
Yeah.
So we have this thought process. Yeah. Of, they're famous. They won't want to know us, but they probably crave the normal kind of lifestyle just as much as we do.
Yeah.
Anyway, another question. Favourite football player? Did we get to?
Yes.
We did. So it was Kelvin Davis.
Yes.
Okay. And your dad's confirmed that it was Bobby Stokes getting a winning goal for Southampton. Mm-hmm. Played for Portsmouth as well, I'm sure. And what's the most money you've ever held in your hand?
The most money,
And what's the most expensive thing you've ever bought?
Right. So the most money I had, I was about 10.
Yeah.
And I had £210.
£210?
Yes.
In your sweaty little mitt there.
Yes.
You had £210.
Yes.
Okay, what did you do with that £210?
I brought a RC Porsche, what goes 35 miles an hour.
Hang on, a what?
A remote control Porsche.
Right.
What cost me, about £110.
Have you still got it?
Yeah.
You still use it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just at the moment, it's broken at the moment because I've lost a little screw.
All right.
But it's on the mends again.
Okay. So you spent all that money on that?
Yeah.
And it don't work?
My sister crashed it.
Did she?
Yeah. That day I was very, very upset because I bought it. Something new, loved it. The first minute, like the first 5 minutes, it just broke. So, oh, I paid 200 and something pounds for that. Thanks. But yeah.
All right, we're kind of running out of time. We've got about seven minutes yet. But I just got another question I've got to ask you.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a few, actually. Best achievement?
Best achievement.
In your life. We should point out you're only 16, even though you sound like you're 25 today. So best achievement?
The best achievement, I would say, my confidence. Like, the best achievement is probably my confidence in controlling my anxiety, and I think that's a massive part, because I thought, like, when I was probably, like, last year and the year before, I thought, oh, gosh, this is going through a bad time and it's not going to open up. But then again, now I'm more positive and I've kind of turned the different way of coming up with a better attitude and, like, coming, actually, no, I can do it, and changing the whole perspective and doing it.
Well, do you know what, Oscar? Just to reaffirm that, you have grown into a really confident young man, and I'll be honest with you. Mm-hmm. When I looked at what was going to happen today, because normally we have people in during the lunchtime social, and I thought, well, could we talk about this? Could we talk about that? And then I thought, do you know what? You got confidence. Let's just go with this. Let's just do it. And the only reason we're doing this now is because I believed in you. And we've just filled an hour with you talking about stuff. We've told some interesting stories, and I bet other people out there will be listening to and thinking they'll be going over their own, you know, their best achievements, their first school, and everybody remembering, you know, who their hero was, their first football player that they really, really liked, and the most money that they've ever spent at one time. I bet they'll be thinking all of those things as well, so it's just made it interesting. But I couldn't have done it without you. And equally, I just, you know, just to say again, I couldn't have done it without having the faith in you, because I thought for a minute, can I do that? Can I? Because otherwise it's an hour of speech. How do we fill it? And most people would be expecting us to talk about Brexit, and we've already pointed out why. There's too much talk about Brexit.
Yeah.
Brexit has already been voted on and done. People need to just do what they're supposed to do.
Mm.
Go and tell them that it's no deal, because there never was a deal. Because we wanted out. The people voted out. It's as simple as that. I think I've got one more question. I've left the embarrassing one till last. First girlfriend. Oh, you should have seen his face, Charlie.
My dad's going to go...
That's an interesting colour you've got.
My dad's going to ask me this question. Like, oh, who's your... No, he walks in from the garage. He goes... When I come in, because he can hear me from the door when I slam it. He goes... So who's your first girlfriend now? Go on. And I don't know.
Well, there's been so many.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, right. Okay.
That's a tough one.
It's a tough one. Go on.
Right. I would say my first girlfriend was back in Brighton.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
What was her name?
Sophia.
So I'm just asking. I wasn't even going to ask anymore. I just because you look so awkward. I thought. Well,
I don't know how I can remember that.
Okay, look, Oscar. Pleasure to spend some time with you. We got to go.